I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes, indeed, it's time for a Dr. Bill show. And it's been an interesting show to put together, I should say. Lots of oddities. Not quite so many as last week. You know, last week we determined that it was the end of the world because all these crazy things were happening. This week, things are happening, but they're not quite as crazy. More or less. Okay, one crazy thing that's happening that's a little odd will be our first item. Before I do that, though, let me say that we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes, indeed. So, now let's look into the blog. The blog, of course, is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. As usual. First item is Firefox and Yahoo? What? What are we talking about here? Well, in Firefox, the default browser has always, the default search engine has always been Google. As it should be. But no. Firefox has yanked it out and replaced it with Yahoo. Yahoo. Yes. How odd. It says here, Yahoo and Mozilla announced a 5-year partnership that would make Yahoo the default U.S. search engine for Mozilla's Firefox browser on mobile and desktop. In December, Yahoo will roll out an enhanced new search function to Firefox users and will also support do not track functions in Firefox as a result of the partnership. Well, I'm all for the do not track. I'm all for, you know, having some security. But Yahoo? I mean, come on, give me a break, Yahoo. Anyway. Next item is that TV is not dead. A lot of people have been touting the death of television as we know it because of all of the uses of other screens, tablets, phones, devices of all kinds, except TVs. And yes, they are being used, but they're being used in conjunction with TV. You know, how many of you have been watching a show and go, ooh, I know that actor, who are they? And you look them up on IMDb. Yes. I do it all the time. And I use a tablet or a computer or whatever. Now, I'm unusual in that, you know, right there in the living room at my big comfortable chair, I have several computers right there in front of me. Yes, you heard that right. Several. I have a Mac Pro. I have a computer that I built myself that's Intel-based. And then I have another computer that is AMD-based, that I built, that is running Linux. So basically, the PC operating system, the Linux operating system, and the Mac operating system, all sitting in front of me, sharing a, you know, giant 28-inch monitor that when I'm sitting in my chair, the monitor looks as big as the 50-inch TV that I'm watching. Yes. And I can switch back and forth between them. It's quite odd. But then, as Fred just pointed out, I am quite odd. So, anyway, the article here from PC World, Ian Paul, says, we're all spending more time with smartphones and tablets, so much that the second screen now may be the first screen, depending on the data you read. Mobile analytics and advertising firm Flurry released a report on Tuesday that says Americans spend close to 10 minutes more per day on mobile devices than sitting in front of a television. The report is a mashup of mobile device usage from Flurry's own analytics as well as ComScores and average TV usage from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Flurry says Americans spend 2 hours and 40 minutes watching TV. I think I've got that one beat. And mobile device usage is now 2 hours and 57 minutes. However, he goes on to say in the article that I won't read the rest of, but the article goes on to point out that, well, you know, a lot of people are using their second screen with their TV. Watching screen. As I do. I'm just a geek, what can I say? Okay. Next item, malware for your phone. Just what you need. Not. That's the way I put it here. This is, by the way, cross-posted from the Handheld Hack. The Handheld Hack is the netcast and blog devoted to handheld devices, of which this is not one. This is the remote for my camera. You say, why did you show it? Well, why not? It's handheld. I'm holding it in my hand. I know. Anyway, so this is from Bits Blog from the New York Times by Nicole Perlroff. I'm having a hard time pronouncing people's names. I'm sorry. You know, when you got a name like Bill Bailey, you know, some of these names just don't roll off the tongue quite as easily as a good old Irish name like Bill Bailey. And I do have Irish ancestry as well as French, English, and Cherokee. I'm a mutt. Oh well. Anyway, I like being a mutt actually. I particularly am proud of my Cherokee heritage. I know I don't look it, do I? I'm 1/16th Cherokee, I'll have you know. Yes. It was more obvious in my dad. A, he was skinnier. And B, his cheeks, you know, were quite high. Mine are, but they're just buried under padding. Well. I am quite pleased to be Cherokee. Very proud of that. Okay. I completely lost my train of thought. We're talking about malware for phones and handheld hack. Yes, the handheld hack is what I got off on. I knew I was weaving off into a direction for some reason. The handheld hack is a blog and newscast, whatever you want to call it, that comes out semi, more or less, kind of occasionally. More or less. There will be one this week. So there's hope. Anyway, for years, security researchers have warned that it was only a matter of time before nested digital scourges, I don't know, like malicious software and spam would hit smartphones. Ah, blap. And now they say it has finally happened. Do-do-do. We should have our hamster back. Yeah, something like that. Fred loves the hamster. Don't you, Fred? Whoa. Down, Fred, down. Okay. A particularly nasty mobile malware campaign targeted Android users has hit between 4 million and 4.5 million Americans since January of 2013. According to an estimate... Sometimes when you're talking, the back of your throat just goes rah and locks up. Don't know why. Maybe it's just me. Anyway... Oh, more was I reading. According to the estimate by Lookout, a San Francisco mobile security company that has been tracking the malware for about 2 years. Now, I use Lookout on my phone, as well as Malwarebytes, and I have no infections. Dude. So I checked mine, though, because I read this article. Apparently, this malware is getting nasty, and you should be checking your phone or other device that is Android-based, because they're out to get you. It's like I tell people about the internets. You know, you're not paranoid when you think people are out to get you. They really are out to get you on the internet. Okay. Next item is fun and wonderful. This is an amazing item. And I encourage you to go to drbill.tv, drbill.tv, and check out the article here. An open source notebook. Yes, please. Check this one out because there's a video there that you need to see. And they talk about the benefits of this notebook, laptop, whatever you want to call it, computer. Dude! This is from Geek by Lee Matthews, and it says, supporters of software freedom and open source have plenty of choices when it comes to apps. I use all the apps I use practically are all open source. But what about hardware? Not so much. The Librem 15 laptop is hoping to change that. This laptop is open source based. Now, it's not free. I mean, you know, if you gave away your laptop hardware for free, you wouldn't last long as a company, you know what I mean? No, this laptop is actually a $1,400 laptop, but dude, it is an awesome laptop. It looks a lot like a MacBook Pro. It's got the aluminum kind of case, and it looks real thin and cool. And, you know, it's got tons of RAM and speed and disk space and all those good things as well. But it's based on open source, and it has a distro of Linux, a special distro of Linux built just for this machine. Every aspect of this machine, the camera, 720, high def camera, everything in it is supported by the special open source distro that they put together for it. The laptop would eat the last FSF certified machine we wrote about for lunch. This particular blog is talking about. It also is a huge step up from the DIY Novena, which you have to build yourself. Although it's worth noting that the Novena is generally totally free, the hardware, firmware, and software. That's why it runs an underpowered Freescale CPU instead of the Intel Core chip that this unit uses. Now, this thing, I'm telling you, it looks awesome. And as I say in the top of the article here, the very first line, I totally want one. Now the thing is, I don't have $1,400 laying around that I can get one with, but it just looks cool. And the ability to say that it's open source based, totally. I mean, the drivers, they even made sure that the hardware in it wasn't, you know, corporate overlord driven. Dude. I mean, just the geek cred you would get from using this laptop would serve you for years. I'm just saying. Whoa! Thank you, Fred, for that Geek Software of the Week drum roll. Whoa. Man, he's getting sneaky. He's sneaking them in right before I even think about Geek Software of the Week. Yes. You're right. That's the whole point, is it? Anyway, the point is, this Geek Software of the Week, I'm telling you, this Geek Software of the Week, I don't even understand how this happened. It's a disgrace, I tell you. It's terrible. What am I talking about? What I'm talking about is this should have been like the number one first Geek Software of the Week that there ever was, ever before this, ever. This Geek Software of the Week it's more like the Geek Software of the Decade. I'm serious. This software is software that I use every single day. Without fail. Guaranteed. Do I have your attention yet? It's FileZilla. Some of you are going, well, of course, FileZilla. Well, yeah, but it has never been a Geek Software of the Week. How did that happen? I am asking, how in the world did that happen? I don't know. But it is now. So, here's what I said about that. I simply can't believe that FileZilla has not already been a Geek Software of the Week. But I did a search on the site, and it hasn't. What? I use it almost as much as I use any piece of software on my system. On my Linux systems, on my Mac system, on my PC system. Dude! I'm reading the headline here, the thingy here, first paragraph, whatever I mean. How did it not get a mention? Well, I've mentioned it in the Perfect Linux Bills post, but wow! This has been a major oversight, so consider it rectified. FileZilla is simply, I'll put it simply and concisely, it is the best FTP client and server, because they have a server that you can get as well, absolutely free, totally open source. And I've run the server as well. Perfect. Awesome. Wonderful. So you must use it. You must download it. It is at FileZilla, I think it's, yes, FileZilla-project.org. I like my Chromebook where I can just tap the screen and it does things. I put it in some mode. There we go. I start saying, here I am bragging on it. I put it in some mode where it wouldn't respond. It had a little weird marking thingy. So anyway, excuse me. Hold on just a minute. Yes, that helps. I don't know why. It would help to have a glass of water, but I don't. So, forging on. FileZilla features, among others, the features of FileZilla include the following. Easy to use, definitely. Supports FTP, FTP over SSL, TLS, FTPS, SSH, file transfer protocol, SFTP. That's a lot. Cross-platform, runs on Windows, Linux, BSD, Mac OS, X, and others. IPv6 support, who cares, but it has it. Available in many languages, supports resume and transfer of large files up to 4 gig. Tabbed user interface, powerful site manager and transfer queue, bookmarks, drag and drop support, configurable transfer speed limits, file name filters, directory comparison, directory configuration wizard, remote file editing, keep alive. I mean, really, seriously, I use it every day and it's just awesome. So you must download it and use it just for me. Just because I overlooked it for so long. I'm so sorry, FileZilla. Dude. Maybe I should have a Geek Software of the Decade. Anyway. Forgive me for my throat. But it's drying out. I'm talking too much. I'm yelling and screaming too much. All right. Last item. Android Lollipop. Let's try that again. Android Lollipop. Lollipop. Disk encryption causes serious performance issues. Whoa. This is particularly notable for the Nexus 6 and Nexus 9. Okay, that has just come out. They come disk encrypted. Yet it slows it down. Anandtech. They tested it, and they found out that it slows it down significantly. 63% decline in performance. Now, that's bad. Okay? So, if you have the option, do not use disk encryption on Lollipop until they fix this. Also, if you have a Nexus 6 or a Nexus 9, you cannot unencrypt the drive until they fix this. So you're stuck in slow mode. Yes, yeah, special effects without special effects. Whoa. So the geeky folks over at XGA are tinkering with a new boot image that will disable the forced encryption. But that's an annoying fix for a device that you paid a ton of money for. Know what I mean? So they, hopefully Google will get this fixed soon. As for me, I'm going to have to find a drink of water with my name on it, or I won't be able to talk again. That was really mean, Fred. So remember, until next time, that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.